This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're going to get back to the Rangers and baseball in just 1 second. But I feel like we need to do some more Stars love. And I'm going to make a prediction on cut number 6. But it's probably not going to be the way it plays out. So this is Pete DeBoer. His thoughts on game 4. All right. I think I'll get part of this right. I actually didn't think we played that well, but props to Granlund and Otter for getting it done, and Winnipeg sucks on the road, and it is O-V-E-R over. That is my prediction for cut 6. Let's see what Coach says.
Yeah, good third period like the other night. Listen, it's a good formula when you're playing from in front against that team as opposed to behind. They're a tough team to play from behind against, so... You know, but I liked how we handled having the lead all night. You know, we kept our foot on the gas. Huge power play goal. Big kill at the end there, too. And, you know, I thought our 5-on-6 was excellent. You know, when you think about we hold the record for giving up, how many goals did we give up in that one game?
Three in a minute.
So we're 5-on-6 in NHL history we had late in the season. So we've obviously fixed that.
All right. So he didn't say the series was over. I figured that was a long shot. But the last thing that he said is a fair point. And I like that he drew upon the history of the historical collapse. What, like a month and a half ago in the final minute when it was 5-on-6. And so I appreciated that. I did think that the team played better in the third period. And obviously the AAC was rocking more in the third period. You've extended your home playoff winning streak to 5, mm-hmm. which is the longest since 2000 when you were playing back at Reunion Arena and you won 6 straight on your way to the Stanley Cup final. Don't worry about what happened after that.
Did you see after the game Mark Messier and they were talking with Mark Messier?
I did not.
Still a very handsome man, you know, for got to be what, 95 or something like
that?
Not
the most handsome on that show, though.
No, there are plenty of handsome people on that show. But he, they asked him at the very end, they said, so do you got a prediction? And is this one over in game 5? And he was like, ah, like this is literally the sounds he, I don't know.
I really wish we had the actual audio. Like, had we predicted this was going to happen?
I wish I did too. But like, he was very noncommittal. And then at the very end, he goes, I think we're going to be back in Dallas for game 6. And I think all of us predicted Stars in 6. That's interesting that you say that. I think this is one of those games where you deploy the guys out against the Jets. You want to close it out. Like, you absolutely want to close it out. But health is important.
Yep.
I would say they'll monitor their minutes a little bit tighter throughout this game, too. Throughout game 5.
Oh, interesting. And you don't think they'll go all out to try to end it?
I think that because you have... Okay. And if you monitor your minutes, you give yourself legs for game 6.
Okay.
You see what their adjustments are. Unless they've run out. Like, if they've run out, then you know you got them, then put your foot on their throat and shut them down.
If game five was in Dallas, I think they would do that. But since it's not.
If they make adjustments, you see those adjustments, you take them back to Dallas, now you have the line change and your advantage, and you win in game 6 on your home ice. That's just the way I feel it's going to play out.
And
I think Messier feels desperate team theory at home is a big deal.
And I do think that's fair. Hellebuck was on point when we last saw him in Winnipeg. But the flip side of that is Winnipeg has now lost 9 straight road playoff games. Do you realize this was the first one they lost by fewer than three goals?
Yes, yes. I was hoping they would get that empty netter so that that could be the note for you.
But at least you could say, like, it wasn't a throwaway goal. Like, you had a legitimate 3-1 lead. It wasn't 2-1 and you put in the empty net. So, again, you're looking at a Winnipeg team that has legitimate 9 straight multi-goal road defeats. And that's going to be daunting for you knowing that I know you get game 7 back in Winnipeg if it went that far, but game 6, man, I don't know how they can have confidence if they make it back to game 6. I honestly don't.
Who?
Winnipeg.
Winnipeg can have confidence?
No, I don't know how they could have confidence going back into game 6.
Being on the road and having to deal with that. That makes a ton of sense. Somebody said, be careful playing with your food, Corey. If they're down, don't give them life. I agree. I absolutely agree. And I think you deploy it the way you can in game 5. You try to win the game. You try to shut them down. Hell, I think it's important to yourself to shut them down. Get off the ice. Get some rest if you can. You know, I think that's very important for yourself. But if you see that, man, you know what? They've just got their juice at home, and this is going to be one of those nights, then I think you try to play it smartly. Pop used to do that against the Mavericks, right? You know what? I've realized by fourth quarter here, we're not going to win this one, but we're about to go take you to the woodshed whenever we get you back at our house.
Now, switching gears back to the Rangers, Alec, I don't know if you felt this way, but did you think that last night's Rangers game was really an in-your-face to Corey Majors?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like we know that a lot of these DFW athletes tolo, as they should, because I think we do good work. But, you know, the message clearly got through to Josh Young that, hey, we got a new hitting coach and everything. That's great and all. But there's this guy that I listen to from 10 to 2 that just seems to doubt everything I do. So I'm just going to go crank every baseball I see 450 feet, and maybe that'll get him to stop.
Before you attempt to respond,
not even a try.
Go ahead and give me cut number 1, because this is Corey being sad at the greatness of Josh Young.
Here's the pitch, swung on, and there's a high drive, well hit. Right center field, Moniak back at the wall. That ball is history. A 3-run Jimmy Jack for Josh Young. Into the Rangers bullpen. He turns the game around, and it's 3-1 Texas in the first.
Now hold on, Corey Majors, because I know what you sometimes would say. That's great. Anybody can hit one home run. How about you give me 2 home runs? Give me cut number 2 back to Josh Young.
0-1 the count. And here's the pitch, and there's a long drive to left field. Back goes Beck. To the track, at the wall, that ball is history. The second home run of the game for Josh Young. He gives the Rangers more breathing room. It is 4-1 Texas in the eighth.
I honestly thought that one was going to go further than it did based off of how it like came off the bat. It looked like it was going to be a double decker, but it barely got out.
Okay. He was responsible for all of our RBIs.
All of the runs, yes. He was very important to today's game or yesterday's game, and from the 2-1-4. If you watch the replay on the second home run, you can see Young says, "Suck it, Corey." It's
of
spelled
all
wrong,
the players who might say that, I could see him being one of them.
And look, since I called him out, all right, and I didn't really even call him out. Like, this is a really weird way that this has turned on me, but I'm perfectly fine playing the heel here. Since I called him out, the Rangers have won 4 straight games. He has a hit in 4 straight games.
They have won 4 straight.
At least a hit in 4 straight games. Now, he does have 4 strikeouts in those games, too. But, again, he has 6 RBI and at least a hit in every single. This is great. This is great news. Josh Young goes to the plate, and we discussed this at length, trying to get his best swing off on every pitch. Like, you can see him and Odolis, they're trying to destroy the baseball. And then maybe it is on second, on 2 outs, he's like, all right, I might choke up a little bit. I've seen Odolis, I feel that way. But this is really good because, again, the team is not producing. Dude, they weren't productive yesterday. How many people yesterday did get a hit?
Yeah.
Josh Young was one of them. And then, let's see.
Haggerty
got himself a hit. Wyatt got a hit. There weren't a bunch of, they didn't string together a bunch of hits yesterday. And so this is an important thing that at least one of the bats, especially a bat that can hit with power, is doing something like that.
Now, that is 4 straight for the Texas Rangers. And I went back to it before the series. You have now secured this series. So that's back-to-back series win. wins. You beat Detroit, now Colorado. I still think, and I stand by what I said before the series, it is imperative that you sweep this series. I think it is imperative that you win tonight because Colorado is so terrible. Somebody just asked if you feel bad for Colorado. As soon as they fired their manager, like it's his fault that they suck as bad as they do. Even Dave Roberts came out and he was like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like it's his fault that they were losing. Once they fired Bud Black, I was like, you know what, the hell with you. I hope you lose all of your games.
This is a great series to put yourself back in the conversation in the West.
Yes.
Because you kind of were looking like you were dipping out of that conversation Agreed. Altogether and the Astros were starting to take over. So like this is that great you're right when you said sweep. And then Mike was like, what are you talking about? It's very difficult to sweep baseball teams in America. And I get it. But
still hasn't happened.
If you want to change the pace of things and you want to put yourself back in the conversation before you start playing against Houston, before you start playing against the New York Yankees, that series right there is going to be tough to get wins by.
Yeah, your schedule ahead is
like
tough.
Sure, you got the White Sox coming up and they're kind of like the Rockies. But like this is an opportunity to go from being fourth in your division back to the top of it without even having to take on the Mariners, who you have a problem
Hold
with.
Hold on. I am not going to let you besmirch the honor of the White Sox. The White Sox look like the 27 Yankees compared to the Rockies. White Sox right now would whip the crap out of the Rockies.
Where are they in their division?
Oh, they're dead last.
Okay, dead last. So they're but I guess they do have 8 more wins.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm sorry.
6.
6 more wins.
Consider this.
They're kind of like the Rockies.
And I know I sound like a broken record. Colorado is 7-35. They've only played 42 games. Mm-hmm. Do you know how many games out of first place they are? 20. They're 20 games out of first place and they've only played 42.
That's pretty good.
Insane.
That is pretty good.
I mean, it doesn't hurt that like the Dodgers and the Padres and even the Giants are still dominating mm-hmm. at the top of that division. So,
but it would be awesome to here at the middle point of May be able to say, all right, we're above 500
yes.
and we have more that we can accomplish in the division by taking on the Astros, having that confidence against the Astros. Now, it can't be fake confidence.
Sure.
But the sweep tonight would really apply some extra confidence to what you're doing.
I agree. And if you walk through, I think the Houston series is 4 games and then the Yankees series. If you walk through that at like, let's say 4-3, I'm sure the Rangers have higher aspirations. But let's just say you walk through those two series 4-3. And now all of a sudden you've created like 3 games of space between 500 and you don't just say, hey, we beat them on a bunch of garbage teams. You beat a very good Detroit team who was hot going into that series. You beat Houston, you beat New York, like 3 out of those 4 series you'd feel really, really good about.
And then again, you get the White Sox after that.
Yeah.
Who are kind of like the Rockies.
They're not good. I think that's insulting to the White Sox and the Pope.
I'll insult.
Oh, what were you about to say?
I was Southern Baptist, so it doesn't matter.
Okay. Oh, man. All right. By the way, CBS Sports, and I think this is probably fair, and this is before the last 2 wins against Colorado, they gave the Rangers a C-, and they said one of the things that pulled them out of D range, having a grade of D,
this guy.
You guys, was beating
Friday.
Detroit. And much like we looked at the Colorado series last year, that's the downfall of this team. I hope we can look back at that Detroit series and be like, that's where we felt like we started moving back up. You know, like you got...
Dude, beating Detroit, they're a good team.
Absolutely.
Beating them was very important, especially after the stretch you took against Seattle and Boston.
Agreed. And do you think C- is
fair?
Would you put it as C now or still C minus?
I would hope that the players would even give themselves a lower grade, maybe that D range you were talking about, Kevin, because I hope that they're that hard on themselves. But at the same time, you can be hard on yourself and still know you can improve.
Yes,
and
I agree.
I think they're in that place right now where they've kicked themselves enough and it's time to turn it around.
And by the way, if the Rangers beat Colorado tonight, that would be 5 straight. That will tie their season-long winning streak, which goes all the way back to pretty early in the season when the
Reds
Cincinnati
and Tampa.
Yes, exactly. And so this will tie their season-long winning streak at 5 if they can.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's MensTeaClinic.com.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Make that happen.
Rolling. Let's get 12.
Let's
shoot for an 18-game win streak, boys. Oh,
okay. I like it.
I would love to see, like, for every team that had an 18-game win streak in their season, how did their season wind up?
Man, that means you would have swept Colorado, Houston, New York, Chicago, and Toronto. Whew. All right. Not that tough. You know what? If they sweep Houston, I think we should restart the golden chicken.
You think so?
I do. I think that should be activated for the Toronto series, because then you'll be like, hey, man, we won our last two home series, 7 in a row, 8 in a row at home, going back to the Seattle series. People would be pumped for that.
Absolutely, they would.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Speaking of tickets, by the way, don't forget, in the noon o'clock hour, we will give away, although if you did it right now, I don't think it would be like the end of the world, but in the noon o'clock hour, we'll be giving away a pair of tickets to go see Shakira at Globe Life Field. Coming up next, though, it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus the most unique marathon ever run, next on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece, right here on 105.3 The Fan, where we're now taking bets on if Corey will have a new dog in the next week.
I think it takes a little bit longer.
But in your heart.
Sunday, we are going to go meet a dog. His name's Kodak.
I just saw the picture.
And he's adorable.
It's already done.
And I hope he...
It's already done.
There's also one named Ben.
Like Ben Kenobi?
Yeah. Ooh. So we're still kind of like, we got to go through this. And then my other son, Carter's like, we're just going to have two dogs. That's just going to be our life. And I'm like, I'm right. We'll see. I love dogs.
Do you remember that show, My Two Dads, from the 80s?
I do.
Where that lady who had a daughter... Dad. She died, but she was kind of a tramp, and she didn't know who the dad was. And so instead of doing a paternity test, they're like, what if we both raised the
daughter?
Did
they live together?
Yes.
Or did they live in neighboring apartments?
No, they like lived together. I think it had their own space. And they were like, oh, she's part of both of us. And I'm like, I mean, I get it, but not really, right? Hey, right now, lay out on me. It's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM.
I'm just saying it was weird.
That's one of the most underrated, like, powerful tools in conversation and socializing.
It's just, layout.
Yes, just nothing. Give them nothing, and they will get so flustered.
Did you hear the interview with Wyatt Langford yesterday?
Yes.
Was it the most awkward thing in the world?
Oh.
Because we all know Wyatt is one of those kind of guys that gives short answers.
Yes,
but
he does.
I was listening, I think it was in the C-Note yesterday. They played some audio back, and they were like, we kept interrupting him. Maybe we just need to wait a little longer for him to finish his answer. And sometimes, Alec, you're right. If you just lay out on Jerry Jones, he'll keep talking. And so you're just like, and I enjoy listening to Jerry Jones continue saying words after we were just like, all right, let's see where he's going with this one.
Yeah, and that's how you get the whole, well, I'm not going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if I were going to, this is what I would say in that situation. That's how you get that out of him. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I like using it as a weapon, not as an asset in that respect. I like using it just to irritate people in that exact
Listen to you weaponizing conversation.
Oh, yeah, man. You took like speech and conversation theory classes because I know how to party, you know? So, like, I just I'm very articulate in this manner. But the question of the day is coming up, 877-881-1053, the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line, Twitch, and YouTube. I want to hear from you as well. Plus, the most unique marathon, maybe even two marathons I'll talk about, that I've ever seen run.
Alec, can I ask you a question? Because you're a running person.
Yes.
Are you proud of people when you see the stickers on their car? Like, even if it's a half marathon, if I see somebody, I'm like, I'm proud of you. Good job.
Kinda.
Okay.
Just because I wouldn't load up my car with so many stickers. I just, I'm like, one or two gets the job done. But, you know, if you are that proud of it and you actually completed said mileage, yes, you should absolutely be proud of that, because a lot of people aren't doing it. Hell, I've never even attempted like a half marathon or anything. Like, the most I've ever done is a 10K. So I do want to change that.
Kind of
I do.
Bragging, I feel like.
No, I want to run a marathon one day. If anything, I'm kind of beating myself up here because I need to get better. But and I'm going to get out there and run today. I don't care what temperature it is outside. I will be running today.
How far is 10K in miles?
I don't even know. There's something like
6.2, I believe.
6.2, yeah. Job. Yeah, that sounds about right. Because I remember 5K was just north of 3, and that's what we ran for cross country in high school. So, yeah, a little bit over 6 miles. I can do that. I can do that any given day, but I need to up the mileage soon. The question of the day today, though, I was kind of, after the Stars game, I was just, you know, in a bit of a high, and I was like, oh, sports are awesome. Like Corey texted, he said, sports are sportsing
they
so hard.
They sport so hard yesterday for me.
And I saw there was a lot of crazy stuff happening in baseball yesterday, too. And I saw the ending of the Red Sox-Tigers game, which was capped off by a 3-run walk-off bomb by Javier Baez. And there's like sort of a renaissance going on with him. Right now?
Yeah.
He's batting .319 with 5 home runs and 27 RBIs in 34 games. Like, he is coming back to life. And it's really cool for me personally, because I remember, like, in high school, Javi Baez was like the talk of the town. It was, oh my God, he's the coolest player ever. He's got all this swag. He's great defensively. He can crush the baseball, blah, blah, blah. Like, everybody wanted to be like Javi. And then he kind of fell off. And now seeing him kind of resurge is really, really cool. And I feel like the Rangers have been a great team for inducing that as well, taking in players that you kind of forgot about. Like, oh, he was good like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And then they end up being really good again. You think about like Mike Minor, Lance Lynn. I mean, even this year, Patrick Corbin, you know, you start thinking about that. I'm like, I just love these redemption arcs. They're so cool. So if I gave you the chance to go save one athlete's career, who are you saving? 877-881-1053.
Current athlete?
Of all time. If you could save that, whether it was an injury that stopped them off the field or off the court, whatever.
Roy Tarpley.
Ooh.
So, sorry, as soon as you said off the field, this is for all sports?
Yeah.
It's Roy Tarpley then, because you go back to the 1988 Western Conference Finals, and I know for some people that would be too far back, is he was shutting down James Worthy. He's putting up a 20-20. He was the sixth man of the year. He was the next franchise player. Sometimes people lose sight of the fact that one of the reasons the Mavericks were so awful in the 90s is they lost the guy that was going to be their franchise player. I would have loved to see what he would have done with the Mavericks. It's Roy Tarpley for me.
Mike Trout.
Ooh.
Oh, man. He's still done pretty well.
I would have saved him from the Angels.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great point.
But also the injuries over this, what, the last 15 years, it feels like.
It does feel like
that. Like, it would have been awesome to, man, they're right. The texters are right now.
Josh Hamilton. Okay, I didn't even look from at the himself, text, I figured.
From himself. Like, that's the, if you could have helped him, saved him from all that. And now, granted, if he hadn't done what he did, he wouldn't have landed in the Rangers' lap.
Agreed.
But then you thought, okay, now that he's a Ranger, he'll stay, you know, he's got a second chance. And he still battled those demons. But we saw what Josh Hamilton was capable of. Now, do I think he was the nicest dude? No, I don't. No. I saw things in person that didn't love. Yeah. I also saw other parts that whenever I was covering that World Series, Kevin, I saw other sides of him that were really cool. But then you hear the lines of like, he's like, how do you feel? He goes and picks up a weight and curls it. And he's like, all right, I'm good to go. And goes out and hits a home run.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, he is the natural. Like, he is that guy. That would, and could he have helped them get to a World Series in a different manner if he hadn't had to face all that other stuff and actually win it? He almost did. He almost single-handedly won it in that one game, but then the rest of the team had to play baseball too.
He did. And he did.
We're getting a whole lot of Derrick Rose, which I knew we were going to get a ton of that because he was just special.
People forget he was right there with LeBron as a possibility for the face of the NBA. LeBron is great, and he was always going to be great. But Derrick Rose just took freaking over, man.
Dude, I remember in Memphis, the excitement of what he is going to be. And then we got to the league. Obviously, it was perfect for him to land in Chicago. Like, yes, that was the perfect place for sure. to relive everything that Michael Jordan did. Not necessarily saying he was the same guy, but like relive and be excited with the nostalgia up in Chicago for sure. See, Bo Jackson's a good one too.
Yeah, the 903 says Steve DeBerg. Let's see.
Come on.
I see my answer. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. This one's interesting because another current player that is playing in DFW, I see Jacob DeGrom come in. Imagine if he never needed those elbow surgeries.
Yeah.
Like, just some weird world where an elite starting pitcher doesn't have to go down for surgery. That would be... That's just a wild concept to think of the damage he could have done to the league if he stayed healthy this entire time. And if he was a Texas Ranger with no Tommy Johns. That would be incredible. From the 469 RG3, I always wonder what things could have been like for Washington had he...
He crossed my mind, for sure.
Another one, if we're going to go quarterback, Cam Newton comes to mind because his shoulder just completely gave out on him, especially whenever he tried that thing with the Patriots and it just didn't really work out. He went back to Carolina, didn't really work out.
I'm not sure I've ever seen a quarterback be beaten up the way I saw Cam Newton get beaten.
That's true.
In his career. Like, you can say he deserved it or whatever. For the size, it just felt like the league was like, you're a big boy, you can handle it. And they didn't really care whenever that dude was getting slaughtered at times.
Yeah, and my answer, if it's not Josh Hamilton, I think that's the easy cop-out answer for me, especially just growing up watching him. He was like my hero, you know, in terms of athletics, outside of like track runners that nobody in school knew who the hell they
Name
were.
Name a track runner.
I mean, Usain Bolt was my hero forever. Mm-hmm. And then Justin Gatlin, too, for the U.S. ties. But watching them grow... watching them growing up was different for me. But Andrew Luck is probably my answer. Because
he didn't have to go to the Civil War.
Yeah, and I'm so happy that Twitter account still exists.
It does? Everything.
Yes. Yeah, whenever he took that GMing job, he made another tweet to his dearest mother. I love that account so much.
I did not know that it still existed. Now I gotta go follow it.
The goofiest thing ever, and I love it so much. But thinking about what he would have been had, you know, all the physical stuff not happening, but, you know, it was more of a mental thing, it seemed like, towards the end. If he just had the peace of mind with, you know, kind of like we mentioned with DeGrom, if there was just no injury history and he was like, I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna play for 15 years and see how many titles I can win. He would have been one of the most special quarterbacks we ever seen.
Yeah, no, I understand that logic. I definitely see some love for 90s basketball with Penny Hardaway and Grant Hill coming up. Those were two players that, I mean, like, if you've seen the Magic moment, the Orlando Magic 30 for 30, obviously Shaq.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's MensTeaClinic.com.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Back leaving was a humongous part of it as well. But it looked like when they went up against the Rockets, I know they got swept, but it looked like the Magic will be back here again and again and again.
All right, so I talked about the most unique marathons. Found this piece about a TikToker. And, you know, a lot of people do crazy things for, you know, interaction these days and to blow up on social media. But have you ever heard of a Culver's marathon?
You have to eat ice cream?
That is included. So there's this guy on TikTok. His name is Clay from Wisconsin. He runs the Farfetched Fitness page, and very accurately named, because he thinks of these wild fitness challenges to complete. So he did the Culver's Marathon, which is a challenge where he went running from Culver's to Culver's.
Yeah.
So he would literally run to different Culver's locations until he completed the 26.2-mile marathon distance on his own. So there was nobody running this with him. He's just filming this, and every time he went to a Culver's, he had to stop and order something and eat it. So this included a bunch of ice cream. This included cheese curds. He was putting in some like awful macros into his body and still completed a marathon.
He got a BLT with 26 strips of bacon on it.
Yeah, like
what?
That sounds like an awesome BLT right there.
And he does a lot of other crazy things too, which I told Carter this would drive me insane. There's a roundabout in his neighborhood.
Oh my God.
He ran that roundabout in circles until he completed 26.2 miles.
This dude's insane. Holy
that would drive crap. Me yes. absolutely yes. nuts. I hate running a mile on a track because I hate seeing the same thing over and over again. It drives me nuts. He ran a marathon in a neighborhood roundabout. So Farfetch Fitness, if you want to watch some of the dumbest fitness challenges that are just oddly pleasing, it's there for the taking on TikTok, and now I kind of want to find one of his challenges and say, you know what, one day during the summer, I'm going to try this.
You don't run on treadmill then, huh?
No, I do I'll warm up on a treadmill.
Okay.
That's what I'll do for, you know, like 10 minutes.
And
that's about
roundabouts
it.
Are stupid anyway. Like we all agree. Like have a stop sign. Yeah. Intersections are so much easier than roundabouts.
Oh my God, that's so confusing.
Nobody knows what to
do. Yeah, I don't. And I get it. And people explain the theory. And I'm like, I hear you. But I become dumber when it's time to like make the move. And I'm like, oh my God, it was right away.
I know what the plan is.
Yeah.
I don't know if they know the plan.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the thing I tell my kid all the time, because my kid's like, you know, when I'm trying to walk across the street, I usually tell the car to go ahead. And I'm like, you have the right of way.
Yeah.
You need to understand the rules that everybody on the road is playing by.
Yeah.
And if you play by the rules they're playing by and they play by the rules you're playing by, we have harmony. Everything's fine. Mm. But whenever people don't play by the same rules, and we don't know the rules at roundabouts, most of us.
I think that way all the time when somebody is two lanes over from me on the highway and they aggressively move to the lane next to me, I always watch out. I'm like, hey, this spot ain't clear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't just think you can swoop across the highway.
And that's my time.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy, where we will talk about the Thanksgiving showdown. Plus, kind of sounds like this all-pro player isn't staying with his team. Next on The Fan.
Minshew in some trouble, and down he goes. Back at the 35, it's Trey Hendrickson. His eighth sack of the year, a loss of 7.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Right now, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip.
Dip and ribbit.
We start with Trey Hendrickson, where...
Dude, this is chaos. I love it.
Yesterday, he's like, hey, I'm not going to play on my current contract. And then he talked to a reporter from CLNS Cincy. I think they solve crime, too. And said a little bit, thank you.
That's a good joke,
thank
Kevin.
You.
That's
a little
quality.
Bit transpired between me and Zach. That's the head coach, Zach Taylor. We've tried to keep it as least amount, as personal as possible, but at some point in the process, it becomes personal. Being sent 30 days before mandatory camp or how many ever days that if I don't show up, I'm going to be fined alludes to the fact that nothing is going to get done in that time frame. And I can also see if they're like, hey, you have 30 days to show up, and you're like, oh, maybe we can figure something out. And they're like, here's the fine schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'd be like, okay, so we're not.
This is just a threat.
Yeah, we're not going to talk or anything.
You're threatening me is what's happening. You're not negotiating with me. And they look at it as, no, that's negotiation.
Yeah.
They're like, this is just part of our game. And so how do you want to play it? And he's like, I'll talk to the media about it.
And he said other things have transpired, like the importance of me being here in OTAs doesn't seem to be respected. I think I've carried a lot of respect, and I don't mean to insinuate anything about anyone's character, but that was disappointing.
Yep.
I think that was the word of the offseason.
I totally get that and completely understand that this is part of the business of the NFL, of sports.
Yeah.
And part of the business of the Cincinnati Bengals in particular.
Yeah.
They have been known to be cheap, but right now they're like, hold on, we have a really good quarterback and a window. So they're trying to spin
receivers.
A little, yeah, we'll play our offense, but you're just a dude we can replace.
I think you're going to love this, Corey. Your favorite team, the Detroit Lions, they finished number one in scoring for only the second time in franchise history, the first time since 1954. Here is their offensive coordinator. I mean, I'm not changing much. Why? It's working, right? So that would be the smartest thing to do. And that's John Morton, the OC for the Lions. And I get his point. I really do. Like, I'm sure he's kind of like sandbagging a little bit about adding some wrinkles or doing this or that. But like, why would you wholesale change that?
So that is an interesting thing because, but I don't feel like Ben Johnson just said, here's my whole playbook.
Yeah.
And that's it. I feel like he added to it as the season, as he found out what his players were capable of, as he found out, hold on, this Jahmyr Gibbs kid can really break free. I need to create space.
Yeah.
So I feel like he grew the playbook over time and continued to be creative against opponents. Specifically, you saw the Cowboys. Hell, he tried to run 19 trick plays against the Cowboys for that one time they screwed up, and he was like, no, we're going to show you. So, like,
man, he did.
So I understand the idea, but at some point, you do have to grow your own creativity with some of these plays because it'll get stale and people will figure you out. But if your talent is this and you know they're good at these plays, you use those plays for sure. The next step, though, is to not be predictable. Somebody just said that earlier. Be predictable, not polite on the road. And I think that's a really good line.
You don't want
to be predictable as an offensive coordinator for sure.
Now, I just feel like maybe the NFL didn't do this announcement at the best time.
Okay.
So about 3 months ago, Roger Goodell talked about how important it was for the league to be diverse and inclusive. And they have had their diversity accelerator program going. That was supposed to get together, I believe, next week. And they have canceled that. Now, they canceled it because they're like, it is going to be back and better than ever. My question that I always have in that is, okay, is it going to be back in a year? Because if that's the case, like, why couldn't you still do this one and then go back to the drawing board and figure it out? But if they're going to do it again in, like, I don't know, like 3 months or something.
Yeah.
Then I get why you would be like, hey, we're going to do it sooner than you think. We're scrapping it all and we're going back to the drawing board.
Yeah. Wouldn't you also, if you're going to scrap it, want to have the new plan in place?
That's fair.
Hey, we're throwing this book out, but we got a new one already ready to go because we already saw the flaws in what our other one was. And we feel like this one is better.
Yeah.
We've taken more conversation from other people. We, you know, have a plan on it. Now, again, this is the NFL. The NFL does whatever they want.
Sure.
And it doesn't matter. So
sure.
When something that makes sense to us, they're like, why would we do it that way? Like, we do what we want to do.
Now, Gabe Davis is going to visit the Giants, and the Titans signed former cornerback Amani Oruwariye.
Nice word.
Oruwariye. I thought I might have had it better the first time. And I just want to let you know that in case you were curious what those players were up to. Now, let's get to the schedule.
Can I bring something back to the Hendrickson conversation? Sure. I didn't think about this, and I appreciate this text from the 915. I think Hendrickson or the Bengals are waiting on the Parsons deal to see how much he gets or they have to pay.
Well, he's going to hold out a training camp then.
And don't forget, CeeDee Lamb was up for contract and Jamar Chase was up for contract.
Yeah.
And there was a long wait on that too. But I agree with you. But that is an interesting take on that. And let's just kind of keep an eye on how both of those go down.
You know what? Bravo 915. I also had not considered that. All right. So the NFL has decided, the hell with it. We don't care if the Cowboys are winning or not. We're going to put them on every possible game we can. And I realize there's restrictions. But the Cowboys are going to be on the first game of the entire season, going up against the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles.
Let's go.
Now, let's put aside the fact that you might think that that is going to be a loss. They're going to be in that game. They're also always in the Thanksgiving game, which is always the highest rated game of the regular season. Well, they were like, you know what? Let's just go all in. And they went ahead and said, you're going to play the Chiefs.
It's okay. A sexy pick.
It is a sexy pick. And then the rumblings also that the Cowboys are going to be in a Netflix Christmas Day game. It feels like these are the negotiations behind the scenes when Netflix is like, hey, what if we expand to this? What if we pay for this? And they're like, oh, great. We'll give you the best matchups. We'll also promise you the Cowboys. Like, I think that's something that could happen because it doesn't really matter who the Cowboys are going to play. And before people are like, eh, the Cowboys aren't any good. Like, I'm not here to argue that their lack of Super Bowl success. They draw ratings like nobody in the NFL. You cannot deny that.
They print ratings.
Yes, they do. And there's already articles about how, like, this will shatter the Thanksgiving record. Now maybe Netflix will have problems with their stream. I don't think that will be the case on Christmas. But, man, they have gone all out. Head-to-head against hated division rival, the defending Super Bowl champions, to start the season. Then you go up against surely one of the premier teams. I would argue the Chiefs are the premier team in the NFL, strictly from like a, like besides the Cowboys, of course, from a brand name because of all the extra attention
Mahomes.
That comes along with, yes, Mahomes and Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah, Kelsey's a big star too.
Absolutely. And then Netflix, the Cowboys are going to play on Christmas. They are going all out for this.
And I mean, over the last, what, 8 years, 7 years, the Chiefs have been the most visible team.
Sure.
In that they're being in and around the Super Bowl that often.
They're the Cowboys that win.
Yeah.
Right?
The Cowboys that won did that in the 90s.
Yes.
They are no longer that, but they've been able to live off of it for quite some time.
Yes. Yes, they do.
Hopefully one day they'll get back to that.
Yeah, hopefully.
That's the hope.
That felt like the appropriate amount of layout because I have lived in the Metroplex my entire life, and I also hope that happens. But, you know.
We understand there are obstacles.
Exactly.
What's your point?
All right, my point, Jerry, is I feel like that point was pretty clear.
Quarterback has some work to do.
Who is going to take more in-game quarterback snaps in 2025, Shedeur Sanders or Dylan Gabriel?
Ooh. This is interesting because Dylan Gabriel's a good quarterback. I did not give him enough credit when he was at OU because I don't like left-handed quarterbacks for some reason. And he's undersized. You know, there are a lot of things that I was just like, he's not the prototypical version of it. But I think whoever commands the and gets the is the popular one, you know, becomes that leader is the one that they're going to go with. I think Shedeur has the cachet to do it. And I think he has the cachet to take it over. Now, will Joe Flacco, does he have the shot to be it?
Yes. Okay. So it's interesting because these are tied together. And this is what I thought was funny. So betting odds, Shedeur Sanders is favored over Dylan Gabriel to get more snaps in 2025. But here's the hierarchy for who will be the Browns starting quarterback. Joe Flacco is the favorite at minus 150, followed by Kenny Pickett at plus 165. So a decided favorite. And then you go to Shedeur Sanders, plus 450, and Dylan Gabriel is plus 900. So despite the fact that he was taken two rounds sooner, the betting odds view him as half as likely. There we go. I was going to say twice as less likely, and I was like, that doesn't make any sense. Half as likely to win the Browns starting quarterback job compared to Shedeur Sanders.
All right, there you go. Laid it out perfectly.
And then Tyler Shuck is a pretty heavy favorite to be the Saints quarterback in week one.
But will he change his name to Shao?
Probably not.
Like, it makes sense, Kevin.
Okay, I think no, he won't. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, back to the Stars victory. And should the rest of the NHL playoff field be terrified by the return of Miro? Next right here on The Fan.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.